Hey, Ion. We already had our fireside chat on Relight, so I don't know what you're planning. Yeah.
Oh, I do. It's about the thymus. The little lady earlier who was having her trouble is her thymus. Parathyroid is that balance. Because of the phosphate, the phosphorus levels are dangerously imbalanced.
Are you talking about Sherry?
Sherry.
Yes, Sherry. Yeah.
Sherry.
Okay, well, let me clean something up. You started out with thymus, and then you went to parathyroids. Is it both or which one?
Both apply to her. Because one is she's having a little issue with what she calls the change. We would call that ascension, but she calls it the change. So she would feel better in the thymus once that balances. And the completement formulas would certainly help balance that. But then the other issue that she's bumping into is found she was looking for a reason, and that is found in the parathyroid. Her phosphorus level is low.
Low or high?
Low. Her phosphorus level is low.
Thymus responds to magnesium, so that will be taken care of. Parathyroids, they're related to calcium and phosphorus, so the calcium will be balanced by the magnesium as well. Phosphorus is so ubiquitous, it's everywhere, so it's hard to get deficient in that.
Parathyroid controls it, and that's where her issue is.
What does Sherry do about it?
Oh, that's up to you. We just tell you she was asking what it was.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Well, then get you some good salt in the mare and put it in some water if that's what you're going to do. Or we like good old kosher salt. We don't mind iodine or not iodine. It doesn't really make any difference. It's kind of like you've established a bias, and she's noticing something that she's trying to reach a relief from. Ascension is what cures it. So you're asking us what to do. We're saying ascend. It'll transcend your little man's symptoms. Now, Dr. Dean is very kind and generous and wonderful because she works with those that are becoming. We are not so inclined. We say, get happier, get out, is what we say. But we'll give you a minute of it. We'll love every minute of it. We'll get there. So we'll answer the questions and be type specific of where to look. If you're looking for a city, we'll give you a zip code. Now, we said parathyroid. We said thymus. That gives the direction of her question, dealing with the shifts in her body and changing them, yada, 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 yada. Then Dr. Dean explains some of the other balances that would help bring those things more in line with the ascension. But the world is changing. It's very clear now. You got to be very clear. You are a set way. You're in a world and environment, the mystery landscape that's evolving. Your base of evolving is changing, meaning your normal doesn't fit in the new environment. The mystery landscape, Bob's talked about this till he's sick of it. The mystery landscape, you don't know. And so your body's now in a mystery landscape. So what was okay before was not okay now. And so, therefore, your body's responding and adjusting in kind to the visual biases and deities that you've engaged. You're shifting now and becoming. That's this process. So we say, do this, 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 and you do it and you feel better until you don't. But you still got to come into the place of your own ascension. The world is changing, and you're changing in the world. Oral Roberts used his famous catchphrase, Oral Roberts. Y'all remember Oral Roberts, the Oral and Evan, or ORU. They're just wonderful people. We love all. He got healed from tuberculosis. They did it with a bat. Anyway, he said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He spoke more of the Bible business. But he got famous saying that. He's like, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. If you could really embrace that of your ascending, the part that you, that's ascending, is greater than the little man that you are and the little man that you are that's in this world that's changing. So the scripture verse for the meme for the day for the fireside chat would be the thymus. Thymus. What is that? Is that Hymus, thymus in the morning? No, that's another radio show. That's the sex show. Thymus. That's a whole nother show Bob would have fun. That's CKL and shit. Never mind. That's another thing. Anyway, parathyroid, which is in the phosphorus, and it's not surprising to us that the phosphorus is coming into a issue because that has to do with the lipids and the adrenals and all them little things that we keep talking about, lysine.
When you look at low phosphate in the blood, it is seen in people who eat a lot of carbohydrates, which means they're not eating a lot of protein. A lot of carbs in the body create a demand for phosphorus, so then the phosphorus drops down. This phosphorus business would be something that a high-protein diet would help or would help reverse.
Balance. You won't reverse it, but you'll balance it.
Yeah, I love the way it always connects.
Ta-da.
Question about the thickening of the skin on your feet and your hands.
Strengthening, yeah. Dark horse says all about it. It's in the palm of your hand. Yeah.
So is there a significance to it thickening?
Most absolutely. The dermis is changing. The dermis is changing. You're becoming an exoskeletal armor. An exoskeletal armor. It's becoming impenetrable. You'll find that, like, people who cook a lot, that use knives. Now, that's when you get hurt, so you don't have a sharp knife. But let's say you know how you can be peeling something and sort of get into your skin a little bit. But now you find that you can sort of whack into your skin and it really doesn't even get through. Where before you could just poke a little bit. Next thing you know, you're bleeding like a stuck hog. Now you literally don't. And it's not that your skin is thicker. It just seems to be more durable. And you'll find it, like, if you file or use a pumice type thing to smooth your skin, what you'll find is that, like, if you'll put lotion or something on your hand, it seems to have a more supple texture. It'll absorb things, but it won't last long. If you are one to use lotions, you'll find they just gone. The body will just absorb them. The dermis will just soak them up. And your hands are still soft, but they seem to be more pliable. We're not talking about callousy skin. We're talking about stronger dermis.
This is occurring with no more cracked heels, and it's all kind of repairing. I just wondered if there's a purpose for it to be that durable.
Armored exoskeleton.
This is Betsy. I take all the complement formulas, but I did some damage to my lower back this week.
Good. This issue with your back is wonderful. Do you know why? Because in your L1 and L2, you've got a little breach. Actually, you're in a bad shape, but you weren't having any pain from it. Now your body's actually better, so you're starting to notice that you sort of kicked it out. And hurt, I mean, it hurts to sit. And then you lay, and then it hurts to lay. And you stretch, and it hurts even worse. What you would do is you'd have someone that you know that can handle it. You lay on your side, fold your leg up, put one leg straight, fold one leg up, and have someone push against your knee and your shoulder opposing to sort of wrench you in that twisting mode. Carefully, it's going to hurt like you have never seen, but it'll line the L1 and L2 up. Then you flip over on your other side and do the same thing, and that twisting motion will wrench that L2 back straight.
Oh, great. Thank you.
You're saying thank you, but you may not say thank you going through that procedure because it's going to hurt, darling. You went it without pain.
Already.
I personally would be going to a chiropractor.
I am going to a chiropractor. Yeah, I am seeing one.
Okay.
I'll get him to do that on my side.
Okay.
Thanks, Simon.
Uh-huh. And do that. And do it both ways.
Is it the sitting at a desk or something that happens that just brings that about?
Oh, no. It's perfect because, see, your body's changing. So everything that's what you call less than, it's going to shine.
I didn't know if this was kind of a detox or getting rid of stuff or if it's completely...
It's exposing things. Bob had a little thing in his heel, same thing. It was fine, but this, he's getting so much better that this is now sort of cleaning up to all details. Your L1, L2 issue is a detail. Now, if you go to one of them chiropractor thingies, we didn't say to, but if Dr. Dean said, so that's good enough reason to. But if they do that... scanning stuff. They can ultrasound or X-ray or whatever they do with little pokey things that they do. You can see that, Ed, but the difference between L1 and L2, exactly what we're talking about. And it's not a problem. It's just got to be pop it back in place. And see, the cord, the actual cord, where they would do a lumbar puncture in between that, there's a little bit of slippage. Actually, your lubricated well, the glands have got that actually in good shape. It's just a little bit sideways. So line it back up, and then the rope will tighten back up. Your spinal column can't tighten back up with the shift between L1 and L2.
It's no damage or herniated or anything.
No, it just needs to put back. Then your spinal cord can tighten it back up. Now, let's talk about something else. Since we got you, this is great fun. Let's talk about something else. The way your body has changed, the way your joints and muscles and the way you're able to move, like reaching up high and standing down. You used to have a little issue with that. Now, look, you don't have that issue anymore. When you first get up in the morning, it would be sometimes problematic. Now, all of a sudden, you're like a kid again, eh?
Yeah, that's true.
It's wonderful. Enjoy that. Okay, Carolyn, can you hook her up with one of your poultices? We'd almost put her in a magnesium bath, but she really doesn't need it everywhere. She could just need one of them, like the little sock thingy thing where you flop it on your back and she could put it on it.
Oh,
what do you think?
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm trying to help her pain because when she goes through that other thing, she may not speak to you or us, either one, anymore.
Oh, well, I mean, Betsy's going to take a lot of magnesium before she goes to the chiropractor. Probably an Epsom salt bath with a...
Yeah.
You can spray it on you, take an Epsom salt bath. To get, I know what you're saying, Ina, about something local, but that's a mess, you know, trying to do that.
I don't know.
Just as easy.
Betsy's doing it to herself.
Yeah, just as easy to get in a bath, but with a whole, like, kilogram of Epsom salts.
Okay. Make sure the water's hot now.
And then, you know, what I do if I know I'm going to have a real good adjustment is I will take some arnica, homeopathic arnica, and take a dose of that before and a dose of it after, and then go home and do another bath. Sometimes you'll hear inflamed to do ice, but sometimes it's better just to keep doing the warm and the heat for something like that, because ice kind of shocks the body and shuts things down, whereas warmth can be very helpful to keep the circulation going, especially when you've got your magnesium, then that's an anti-inflammatory, and the circulation is getting the magnesium right to where it should be going.
She's suffering from dead blood in her back.
Yeah, and if you ice yourself...
coagulate.
Yeah. When I studied Chinese medicine, they were very against icing the body. In first aid, that's what we say you have to do. And maybe, you know, for the ankle swelling and that sort of thing, just for the first few hours, you could chill it down. But then, Betsy, what were you saying? You're having spasms?
Well, I had terrific, unbelievable spasms for 2 days. Just nothing like I've ever had in my life. And I would shock it. Yeah.
Well, I am saying
so
that's balancing. The
warm, better.
That was a balancing action, says Ian.
Yeah, but she's trying to get achieve and beyond it. So that's what we say it's going to hurt. And so your mama would say it's got to hurt if it's going to heal.
All righty then.
And now it's your spinal cord. It's trying to tighten up, and it can't tighten up with that bump in L1, L2. Once you get that straightened out, it's going to be a little thing, and then all of a sudden it's going to be, then your spinal cord can tighten up, but it won't allow it to tighten up. It's like lacing up your boots and you got it off one of the hooks. It won't get tight. Pulls to the one side, which is painful. And you're trying to relace it tight.
Well, even now, until here we are Saturday night, couldn't Betsy just lie on her back and put one leg over the other, like kind of rotate the hip over? Do a twist, a spinal twist.
She could, but what might be even more easy, because it won't quite reach the twist part, and that's for higher up. But if she could lay on her back, put her feet up toward the sky, like up, and then reach and pull her right foot up toward her chest. Don't pull it towards your left shoulder. Just pull it straight down. That pulling straight down is going to let that pressure off the elbow. It's lifting toward the right side, so you don't need to pull to the left. You need to pull straight. So pull your foot towards your breast, like pull it down. That's also going to be very, 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 very tender, darling, just so you know. But once she can lay there a little bit and hold it there for, say, a few minutes, maybe, as long as she can, and then you'll find that you'll find some relief from that.
And you're saying just the right leg, pulling down the
right
leg.
Pull the right leg. Do not pull down on the left leg. It'll make it more out of whack.
Okay.
Your right leg, the one on your right side, pull that one with your hands on the palm of your feet, pulling that toward you so your knee would be towards your chest straight.
Right. It's kind of like a happy baby pose.
Pretty much, yeah. That's right. And that'll help. You'll find a little, it'll hurt when you're doing it, but like when you relax a little into it, if you can stand it, then you'll find a bit of relief from there.
And arnica, if you have that, just be,
mm-hmm.
you could be arnica. Taking that every hour, for Pete's sake.
Well, I've been drinking magnesium, so thank you for your formula.
Yay!
Yeah.
Ion, what do you feel about using Remag topically? And a heating pad or a stock of rice heated in the microwave.
Sure. That's the only thing that you use a microwave for is heating rice in a sock.
Yeah, but don't you find if you're going to eat that, you should put some olive oil or something on it because otherwise it's pretty crunchy, doesn't it?
What exactly does a microwave do to food?
Kills the enzymes, so it makes the food dead. Because it heats up inside the cells to really super temperature. So the enzymes are dead. The food has no life. So when you eat it, it puts more strain on the body to digest it because it doesn't have its own enzymes to help the digestive process.
And what do you say,
Ion? Good. We say good. That's exactly what you should be eating. That's wonderful. Because what happens is, with that in mind, you got to work harder to digest it. So good. It'll last you longer. It'll hold you better. Wonderful. What a microwave radiation is what we like about it, is it moves the molecules at a faster rate than they are otherwise. It agitates them, which causes a warming effect. And in that radiation may indeed suffer some live position, but that would be the same argument to say don't boil your turnip greens because the nutrition is in the pot liquor. That, if you're eating enough cornbread, then good, good. So the answer to the question is, we say it's wonderful, not a problem. We don't dispute Dr. Dean's words. We agree with Dr. Dean. We just say that's not bad. As this environment changes, what you're going to find is they're going to have other types of warming, heating. Everything's going to be induction. You're going to find everything is induction. That's the catchword, is induction. So you don't have to microwave the food. You can have induction heating. They can boil a huge pot of water in just 30 seconds, which is even more efficient than a microwave. Induction heating is going to be the rage.
Yeah.
In a minute, all that'll be gone. So don't worry.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of that in my imagination. So a lot of the ways things will be heated. As opposed to how we're doing it now.
Correct. Baked potatoes took an hour and a half in the stove. Then they take 7 or 10 minutes in a microwave. Then they're fine. It's a baked potato, for Pete's sake. But now you find that even a roasted potato, that like in a convection oven, changes everything still. So that all being said, even in an induction level, it's going to change again. But now, if you're going to eat sewage, microwave it thoroughly. It'll be delicious. You'll enjoy it.
Ion, the definition of induction in the category of physics reads the production of an electric or magnetic state by the proximity without contact of an electrified or magnetized body. Are you saying that our magnetic state or our electric state is changing?
Absolutely. That's what we've been saying all along, along, along.
Are we electricity?
You are not.
Are we the source of electricity?
No, you are not.
Does our energy that is produced simply by being in this chemical body have anything to do with the production of electricity on this planet?
Oh, you're so close to it, you can taste it.
Oh, come on!
How about a positive charge on a sphere?
Like a cell or an atom?
Huh. What about that? And maybe it's just a charge. Maybe not quite magnetized, but just a charge. And then your environment is affected by that state. Now you have a process where you have a conductor placing in a charging position. Now you've changed the stationary magnetic field.
Because the conductor influences or...
Well, it's going to cause voltage to go across the conductor. So it's going to make, by default, an electrical current. So you're going to induce a current.
And we're talking about positive charge at this point.
Everything is. There is no negative charge. Negative is the ground. That's where Michael Faraday fucked it up, darling.
Well, I'm picturing the horse sense, the electric horse sense.
Okay.
So the top wire has a positive current that runs around the whole pasture.
That's right.
And it's grounded by one rod.
It is, but now, you know, normally I have three hots and one ground line. So you can hit the hot and it'll shock you, but the ground is what will put you on the ground. The hot in the ground is what will put you down.
Okay, the line, the bottom line, is connected to a rod sunk into the ground.
Yes, that's correct.
And that's what grounds the current.
That's right. Now, how are you going to deal with it in non-magnetic material? All that happens then is the electrons move in such a way that the individual magnetic field points are different directions. So they cancel each other out.
The individual magnetic field?
Yeah, the field's point. If something's non-magnetic, it still applies. It just takes the field, because everything's a magnetic field or degree of magnetism, unlawfully. The unlawful degree of magnetism, that's right. Then you have a pushing away process. So even a non-metallic or non-magnetic material, we said metallic because that's what it normally applies to, but the electrons are still moving, yes? So it basically cancels each other out, and the present status of a magnetic field generates nothing. The only exception now is if you got like the Maxwell Faraday equation, which allows interaction between the magnetic fields. But that's trying to make electricity be magnetic, magnetic be electric. That's how you can use generators. But say like in our coal play, the way our coal play works, it takes and masters the ability or capacity to allow electrons, free electrons, to flow from a magnetic position, but that's not magnetized. Because it takes energy to turn a generator or a turbine. This is done in and of itself. And then the only thing that falls out of our coplay, see, is the H3O2. That's its waste.
Your waste product. And free electrons are electrons without a negative charge?
Without a pair. Don't say electrical charge, because that's not always true. Most of the time it is. But in the world, it's changing. See, with the world with a negative pH, negative won't matter. It'll be degree of positive. You won't have any more negative. It'll be less positive or more positive. Let's say it this way. And this is being cheeky, but in time, they're going to go back and listen to this, so we need to make as much sense as possible. It's like in the future, there'll be no cold. It'll just be less hot.
And in the methane world, the temperature is always higher than it is
now. Not necessary. No, it's not. No, it's not. Based on a bias, it is. But if you take that methane world and charge it with liquid nitrogen, it is not warmer.
We're totally redefining temperature.
See, boron is a non sequitur. Until you change the amount of rads of radiation on the planet, then boron becomes a very different conversation.
You're saying we will stop measuring things by the freezing point of water and we'll start measuring things by the absolute zero?
Absolute zero is gone.
So there's as cold as it can get, and then everything else is warm.
There is no limit. There is no limit. There's no limit to as cold as it can get. See, that's the thing. Now you're registering. It'd be like, they're like, well, we'll see how it goes in time. Well, wait, what? There is no time, so it's that cold on.
Does anything replace absolute zero in our current perspective?
No. Look up boron and play with it to see how you go. Okie doke.
Hello?
Yes, go. Speak.
Can I do reading? I was calling to see if you guys could do a medium.
We're large. Extra large. We're great biggie.
We're not no puny medium. This is your medium. You're talking to him.
Okay. Well,
message.
Okay.
Are you the one who called in 4 years ago that we were warned about?
No.
Are you the great beast come forth to slay Bob?
Did you bring forth the Gutenberg galaxy? Are you the one who broke the printing press and made Lyndon LaRouche hate the queen? Are you the one that really got Lyndon Lewis stirred up and really got T.S. Eliot all crossways with all the ones that came forth since the big boys decided to start writing?
Yeah, no, I don't think she is. Go ahead. Ask your questions. You are talking to a, quote, medium.
Somebody had stole something from me, and I don't know where she's at.
She's behind a preposition.
And she had just had puppies, and somebody had sold her.
Yeah, she's behind a preposition. It was what Ian just said. Behind a preposition. Think about what he said to you.
Somebody had stole my dog from the yard, and I don't know who it was. This dog that got stolen.
Well, ask Ian where it is. Ian, tell her where the damn dog is, and let's move on.
The dog pound.
Get a cab, get in your car, go down to the dog pound. There you are.
Ian is a comedian medium.
No, no. The dog is at the dog pound. It's picked up.
It's got picked up, lady. You got your answer. You got any other more important questions?
Who is Peanut?
Somebody should tell me that.
Nobody told us that. This guy's got ESP. Who's Peanuts? Hey, Bill, is this one of your friends, one of your relatives, Bill? Have you brought in one of your relatives here to bug Ion?
No, there's a probability that after so many calls, probability says that this will occur, Bob. It's a probability issue.
I get you. Happened 4 years ago with that woman. Remember her.
That woman. That woman, yeah.
The young woman on welfare, juvenile delinquent. And she was saved.
Saved, yes, she.
I think what's happening is in my travels, I'm drinking a lot of water, and then I come back into this world, and I've got to pee in this world from the water I'm drinking in the other world. Is that correct?
No. Actually, what's happening is you're handling water different, and we can prove it. Take your big glass of nice red and let it sit. Let it breathe until about halfway, and just let it sit. Just let it breathe. I know it's a chore. Well, if you pull the cork, you're ready to go. But just let it breathe for a little bit and let the tannin sort of build up in the top of the glass and then drink about half of it. Don't drink any more until you got to go pee and watch the difference because you're going to go, wait a second, if I drink about half, no, I normally don't have to go let have finish the glass. Rah, 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 rah. Drink about half of it and see what happens. But it's not water from other worlds. What you consume, normal. But you're processing fluids differently. When you're away, your environment is very different than it is when you're at home. When you're at home, your environment is more precise. It doesn't change. So that's a good thing. But when you're traveling, you're up against all kinds of crazy stuff. And you may consume more water, but it's not about that. You're not peeing from other worlds. You're peeing from this world. But you're processing water because of your travel differently. Yeah. Your body is looking for a different kind of water. It's craving it. Can anybody tell you that already?
She's told me everything already. No, I notice the difference. Sometimes I wake up and it's as if I've drank in 3 gallons of water before I went to bed. And I'm like, where the hell is all this coming from?
And here's exactly where it's coming from. In early days, you were all excited about your new vicissitudes, and you told us, or we asked you, if you indeed wished to pee like into a racehorse. And you said yes. So welcome to that world.
That's perfect. Could California Chrome, did that horse have enough to win the Belmont Stakes?
That horse did have enough, but it wasn't about the track. It was about the length. Horses that run the Belmont Stakes are a different kind of breed. The horse who won Belmont Stakes had never even raced before. But it's because of a long run. It's mile and a half, mile and a quarter, that many furlongs is different. A different type of horse runs it. See, that horse that run the Belmont Stakes wouldn't have done anything at the Derby. It'd be stretching out. And the Derby's over.
That's right. By the time the horse gets warmed up, yeah. So that horse that did win was bred with a longer stride for a mile and a half track.
That's what happens. But it wasn't the breathe right strip. So, but now, isn't it interesting that everybody got the breathe right strip? Everybody's lacking oxygen. And nobody can get it. Everybody's trying to get the little man's trying to even put them on the damn horses now, for Pete's sake. The strips. And everybody at the Belmont got them to the breathe right. It was quite a PR campaign. It was pretty delightful. But the reason that everybody's using them breathe right strips is they're trying to open it up more because, once again, it is
scientifically proven that there is a reduction of oxygen on the planet, as we know it.
Did the coach, the boss, the owner, did his attitude affect the horse?
No, not this horse.
My son, Austin, is traveling, obviously, a lot, and occasionally he wakes up soaked in sweat more than he could possibly even experience from running a marathon. You got an overlay for him?
His pituitary is kicking in, and his jumping is he's going through the stretches. He's running hot.
Just normal body growing stuff.
We didn't say all that. Not so normal. That's a lot. I mean,
say more about the pituitary.
It's kicking in, and it's starting to sort of shift a little bit. And because he is in an unusual environment, too, it's more enhanced.
So, Ion, the coach of California Chrome, whatever, he had all these ideas that...
you mean the owner?
Yeah, whoever Greg was telling us was complaining, was angry that Taurus lost, and he was complaining about the different kinds
of... That's the owner.
Was his perception accurate about why the horse lost?
No.
He did not know enough about the length of Belmont to understand what you just pointed out.
No. It's just phatic.
He was being phatic with the reporter.
Oh, yeah.
It was after the race, Bob, so he was just feeling less than because the guy whose horse did win did not run the Preakness, so the horse had supposedly longer time
to rest. That's the wrong fact.
Agreed.
He doesn't seem to know that it's the length of the field that is the factor.
Espinoza didn't even think he would anyway.
Who's that, the jockey, Espinoza?
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying the jockey knew the horse wouldn't get it?
Yeah.
Is this horse, the jockey's non-physical? You know how the non-physical is the animal to our perception or for us?
It is sometimes. It was in 1998 with Real Quiet, and it was with Alice Sheba in 1987.
It was what?
The jockey was the horse's non-physical. It's Smarty Jones in 2004.
Is the beast always a reflection of our non-physical on some level?
Of course. Anything without a soul is. They can pick up on you. Your soul, your stenographer, is so grand that your beast will pick that up. We do that. That's why y'all fault us. You fault us. Now we can do all kinds of fun stuff because of you. We couldn't do that before, but we can now. You want to try? You want to see? Want to try? Come on. Come on. We're going to knock this one out of the park.
What's the name of that movie?
So,
I looked up Smarty Jones, and Ion's right. He did win in 2004, so got right on that fact.
Oh, Lord, there's a fact? Oh, no, sorry. We weren't dealing in facts.
Well,
just the fact. Jones, just the fact, man.
Smarty Jones is the last horse that undid the Triple Crown for another horse.
Well, he won the first two, and he lost the third.
Smarty Jones did?
Smarty Jones won the first two and came second and third.
Oh, okay. So he was that was the horse that had the last time that.
No, Big Brown was the last time in 2008.
Was that the last horse that had won two and was set to win the first round and did it?
Big Brown in 2008. Yes.
Okay.
Which physical person influences a non-physical horse? Why was it the jockey and not the owner?
The jockey has more of a residual connection than the owner. The owner owns it, okay? Let's do it this way. You own your slaves, don't you?
Yes.
Okay. So you own your slaves, but the one who actually tends to your slaves has a closer connection to the slaves themselves. So just like Pharaoh and the Jews of the day, Pharaoh didn't have a great connection. But Joseph, who was also very Jewish in the house of Potiphar, was over the slaves. He was their hookup. He didn't own the slaves, but he had more of a connection with the Jews than Pharaoh did. But Pharaoh owned the Jews.
This lady, when I was a teenager, used to call me Peanuts. Is she trying to give me a message? Because she probably
didn't
want.
Yes. He's long gone, honey.
What does she have to say to me?
Run your race.
She's right. It's time. I'm trying to change the things that I did manifest that I don't like. Am I going to be able to succeed before my birthday?
You certainly may.
It's not written in stone.
No, but is there any suggestions that you would advise me on that I haven't thought of already?
Sometimes you are more careful to argue for your limitations than you are to embrace your possibilities. That blows you down in your process.
This is Noemi. I went to the hospital like 2 months ago or so. They're trying to draw blood, and they couldn't, and they called all the phlebotomists and all the nurses on the floor, and they just couldn't draw blood. And they even called the doctor to try. And it just couldn't happen. So finally they just decided that they're not going to, they just didn't draw the blood.
Is that because it was too big? It was too grown? Too transcendent?
I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. That has never happened before.
Well, you're on the drops. You're on the drops. You're our first person in the field to report the blood effect. Congratulations.
They asked me why I don't bleed because they got to poke me, but they weren't able to draw blood, but they said I didn't bleed.
You should have got the hell out of there. You would have been arrested pretty soon if they kept probing you. How'd you get out of it?
The doctors just decided they were not going to draw blood.
they were going to renege on their duties. They gave up.
They canceled the one phlebotomist. And the one phlebotomist, she said, I'm the one they call it the last resource because I'm famous for being able to draw blood in the first try. And then she wasn't able to do it either.
You were the anomaly.
I didn't predict to this.
Now we want to do this with Dr. Dink. So everybody else, hold on just a second. Here's the thing. They will be able to draw blood. The blood that they draw will be different. Now, just like the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria, the Indians could not see those ships because they had never seen those ships before. Typically, what's going to start happening is they won't see the blood. That's because
of
the eye.
Is that why they said that's why I don't bleed?
Correct.
They couldn't see it.
Because they couldn't see it. But that's okay. That's a good thing because what would happen is now you've had a conversation with us regarding it and you know what to do. Some of the JWs can make the vacuum tubes explode, which is very unusual and it's not normal, but that's what happens. But he might be the exception, not the rule, but maybe not. Even so, the blood is very different. It's a different shade, a different texture. It's a different, it would be like comparing talcum powder to ink. It's not sane. You wouldn't even mix them up. Well, the new blood, you won't be able to recognize at all from regular, what you call little man blood. And so this is the first level. And it's amazing that they would let you go. Typically, when the phlebotomist can't and the no one can draw your blood, that's sort of a slap in the face. Remember when they got the 12-gauge, the big needle going to work it out, when the little butterflies wouldn't work and it still didn't work?
And they tried on my feet.
That's
they
right.
Tried everywhere. Cool. They tried everywhere.
The only way they could have solved it is if they had done a blood gas.
They poked me everywhere, but they weren't able to draw blood.
Good.
Yes. Noemi's the strangest person. She's got a picture of paradise hogging her vision wherever she walks around. Well, maybe it's not there now, but she had it when she first took the drops. She was transported visually in her retina to another scenario.
She didn't know not to, so her body responded in kind. No one told her not to, so she went with it, and that's good. So here's the good news. The good news is that there was a hedge around you regarding this. It's the one we call Dr. Dean. There are going to be those who don't have this hedge. It's going to be a little different conversation because then it's going to cause questions, and they're going to have to ask, and they're going to want to research, and they're going to know what this is. And then they're going to say, what happened? You were Rh negative. Now you're no longer Rh negative now. Now they cross-type your blood, and they can't cross-type your blood. Then you have the strangest, weirdest A negative ever, 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 but there is no negative anymore. So then they have to do, then you become something. You don't want to go through all that, sugar baby. You don't want to go through all that. It's going to be a little more of a thing. So let's go with this just like this for today. Once this starts and becomes normal, then they'll say, oh, okay, we've seen this before. This is blah. But here's what they'll call it. In the mean, Bob's in the mean business, they'll say, oh, the toxicology report came back, and you have what we call is ascended blood.
Oh.
It's a disease. It's a disease. It's anything that's not normal is a disease. So you will suffer from ascended blood. And that's what they'll call
stigma.
It.
They will call it that because they'll know that Dr. Dean talks about ascension, and they're going to smear Dr. Dean. That's her main agenda. So they're going to say, oh, this is Dr. Dean blood. But we call ascended blood. That's a serious problem, ma'am.
So the suffering, what would be the symptoms?
Oh, there is no symptoms, darling. There's no symptoms at all.
Yeah, calling in, listening to us, taking the drops.
Yeah, cancer doesn't kill people. It's the damn chemotherapy that kills the people, darling.
The symptom is being a member of the Dobstown cult.
Now what you're finding, they're changing it up a little bit, thank goodness. They're now embracing it, and they're saying, okay, now they can't. You take this pill, and we make you so you can live with the cancer. You do just fine. It's happening. It's working. Don't you worry. But we can't work in this world of definitives because once we make the definitives, then you become the standard. You don't want to be the standard, darling. You want to be so busy pleasing, delighting yourself you didn't notice.
You don't need to go to doctors anymore, Noemi.
No?
I'll please yourself.
Okay,
We didn't say that.
No.
We didn't say
okay,
that. You do whatever you want to do. You do whatever you want to do.
There's one other thing that happened is that I went into the doctor because I was having palpitations, and they did all the tests. They did an EKG, and they did an echocardiogram. The technician said, I don't understand why everything's being registered on the screen backwards. The technician called another technician, and she said, I need you to look at this. Am I doing something wrong? So he checked out all the where the leads were placed.
The leads.
I don't know if that's what you call them.
The wires, the leads.
The wires. He checked everything out, and he said, no, everything's fine. And he's looking at the screen, and he said, it is registering backwards. And then the first technician, she said, well, what am I supposed to do? And he said, just print it out and turn it like that. Turn it in like that.
Whether they'll call this, it'll be classically known as a reverse afibrillation.
Did you predict this for Noemi last week or something?
Years ago, Bob.
Oh, yeah, for everybody, right, blanket prediction. But what are you saying about it in her case? So you've said what you're going to say, and applying to Noemi?
Right, well, we were able to annoy you, thank goodness. Yes, but we were trying to make the point.
A great anniversary point. 44 years of work, Carolyn. We now have our first mutation we've created.
So now, finally, you get to experience the thing we've already told you that it was going to be. Whoopee.
That's right. Sorry, my mic was too high up. Probably couldn't hear anything I was saying. You can now go around and say you're Bob's baby. Your father is Bob, not whoever claimed to be your father. I produced you. It was a long project.
No,
you're now Frankensteining monster. On your way to a good time.
No. I was the orgasmic result of Dick Dobbs.
My evil brother's progeny.
So any text that start on us, we have to tell him to look at it in a mirror.
Does that work, Ion? You would put it in a mirror?
We wouldn't.
Don't even say much. Just let them puddle around and you just quietly leave.
Yeah, and it's great. They normally won't let you go.
Uh-oh, here comes Dr. Deitch. You give a stop to this foolishness.
Yeah. So, to the point is, if someone's experienced atrial fibrillation, it means to me they're not taking enough magnesium.
And they don't go to a doctor. They call into your show on Monday. There, you will get a non-doctor there, Noemi. You don't want to go to doctors. You want to go to a non-doctor. I mean, I'm glad you went in. We wouldn't have had this evidence of our Frankensteinian effect, but, you know, overall, start calling to Carol, not going to get these tests.
Frankensteinian.
You like that one? Yeah, Frankensteinian.
We have Igor E.
That's good, Noemi. We will talk over these other influences.
Yeah.
There's a so-called epidemic of atrial fibrillation. I'm reading something here. 1 in 4 adults in the U.S. now will experience at least one episode. And that's because 80% of the population is magnesium deficient.
No, it's because the world's changing and their bodies are responding. You got to include that too. Yeah, you will soon be obsolete, Carol. You know, your knowledge won't apply. Luckily, you got the new stuff that will get you by, but won't even be able to use your old thoughts anymore.
Is an electrocardiogram use electricity to measure what your body's doing?
No, it measures electrical charges in your body, and it's plugged into a socket, so it is an electrical machine, but it doesn't put electricity into you.
Oh, but it does measure the electricity in your body and what it's doing to your heart.
Right.
What Carolyn's trying to get to is the sinus node, aren't you, Carolyn?
I can get to any node you want me to.
Sinus node.
There are several pacemakers in the body. The sinoatrial node is the most
well-known
one.
Republican-funded.
AV node.
And, there are several nodes, and when one of them gets into a spasm because of magnesium deficiency, the others will kick in and then make it look like you have a skip beat or an extra beat or something. So it's all very anatomical according to the magnesium causing spasms.
Well, our words were, it's known as reverse AFib. So it's very different. It's called Wells sinus syndrome.
So you do not link it to magnesium ion?
We're not trying to fix it. Reverse AFib, we're not cross with it. We like it.
Is it communicable, Ion? You've made the term.
No.
Attention is.
There is a sick sinus syndrome. So Ion is now calling it well sinus syndrome.
But reverse AFib, yes.
Ion's not a medium. He's a reverse medium.
No, he's a comedian.
Inverted.
Yeah, comedian.
Inverted.
A reverse comedian.
A comedian.
Inverted. Averted. An inverted, averted. We're a vice versa. A vice versa.
You're a comedian.
Comedian. A large, a large comedian. Then like a commodity, can we be traded? As long as we cannot piss it out of the park, we'll be all right.
So, Ion, does this have anything to do with the switch gears?
Yes. Everything to do with the switch gear.
Yeah, that's all we are.
Debbie does Dallas.
Well, I wanted to get it back to the electricity, because to get back to the electricity conversation.
Okay, here's the electricity part. There is no electricity. That's that part. You don't even know what it is. You're pumping your house full of it, and you don't even know what it is. You cook your dinner with it. You cook your lovers with it, and you do all kinds of fun things with it. You dry your hair with it, and you don't even know what it is. and there isn't any involved in this conversation. Well, you don't know what it is. You say, oh, well, it's just the moving of electrons, and they move real fast, and they're back and forth in a direction. And when they get there, they come around and get back, and I don't know. I was looking at the Wikipedia, and it seems that it includes that there's some type of ramifications that come from the application of a watted electron in a modality that applies to the conduit at hand. It's in a grounded position. It's grounded. It's a grounded position that allows things to flow, causes the shaking and the tide. We have lights from it. We have this from it. We have that from it. Bunch of bullshit. All that. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have a clue what they're talking about. And then next thing you know, you read about it, and then they say it's on. And then, well, Marshall McLuhan said that the media ecology of the environment was an electrical impulse. And then LaRouche came in and said it couldn't be. So if all these high-minded motherfuckers really know what's going on, they have to know what that is. But they don't know what it is. They're just talking about the babble about the babble. They're trying to say that there was a Tower of Babel before there was a Babel.
Can you tell us what electricity is?
But tell us. We'd love to know. Not one of you yet has been able to explain it to us.
Does boron have anything to do with it?
Boy, that's interesting. Tell us about boron. We love boron.
Well, it's not from the Earth, apparently.
Ag2S22Pl.
Is that
part of Sheila's painting?
Well, it says boron is not from here.
It's not.
It's from meteorites.
It is.
It's not a naturally occurring compound.
That's correct. It's a cosmic ray spatulation.
I know, I couldn't even say it.
Spatulation. Salicylation. Salicylation. Anacanapunan. And then you're ready to go.
This is the way the Jesuits ran the salon in 1787.
That's why Jesus threw the money changers out. They couldn't talk right.
Let me ask this. Because, Allison, weren't you asking about the dermis, about the palms? And
I was.
And Ion, you said our dermis is turning into an exoskeleton armor.
Yes.
Is it to be a conduit of electricity so that we can connect to the clouds? Because you said that we couldn't let the electricity run through our body, but if we have armor on, it could run over it.
Allotropes. Rhombohedral crystalline structures are aromahedral.
Ramahedral?
Yeah, Dodie's brother. Dodecahedral, Ramihedral, Rhombichedral.
And Romney.
Is he running again?
Yeah, and Romney.
So what you just said, Ion, is that the definition of an allotrope?
No.
Oh.
Well, I've got allotropes. Allotropes of carbon.
Yeah.
Carbon is capable of forming many allotropes due to its valency. Valency? I think I know how to say that.
Yeah, valency, yeah. But now do the allotropes of boron, carbon. Now here it goes. We look at the goddamn Wikipedia and we get sent before the Sanhedrin. Y'all can't even find it on the Wikipedia, and that's perfectly all right. We haven't figured this out just yet. We have to go in and change the Wikipedia to match our words so you'll believe them. And that's beyond the reproach. Y'all can't even find it on the Wikipedia. That's just perfectly all right.
Not me, Ion. I totally am.
Yeah.
I'm like with you.
Suzanne, Debbie never does the internet. Yeah.
Debbie does Wiki.
Debbie does Dallas in the Wiki.
Ion does Wiki. Ion creates Wiki.
Well, sometimes we have to put it there because that's what Marshall McLuhan said. If you can find a media ecology and affect it, you run it. Do you understand?
Yeah.
We can say anything we want to, put it in the Wikipedia. You can find it and go, well, there, that son of a bitch is. Look at there, just like Ion said. And then you run with it. And then a creator's got it, and then we go with it. The next thing you know, Bob's patenting it.
Is it alpha rhombohedral B, beta rhombohedral B, and then YB,
whoa,
and then tetragonal boron?
Yes. If they're synthesized. You can get a orthorhombic.
So this is in response to my question about the dermis being armor and electricity flowing over it to get to the cloud.
Yeah.
ions and allotrope, and now we're hearing this.
Yeah. A rhombus is just a simple quadrilateral whose four sides all have the same length.
Yeah. Oh, high pressure superconducting phase.
But the angles are different.
Yeah. We think it's simple, but we know it's not, we know it is.
Yeah. Body crystalline.
Yep.
It's just like Dr. Dean's plastic.
Okay, you back off, Ion.
Back off, Ion. Ion's out of control.
Gee whiz.
You'll never catch one of us repeating gossip, so you better be sure and listen close the first time.
Armor exoskeleton is what is going to enable us to do the Roy Mustang transmuting action.
No, that would be cubic boron. And the argon.
Roy Mustang never played Dallas, so I think you're faking that part.
I had a conversation with Ion, and he told me that about Roy Mustang.
Well, he never got a recording contract, and he never played in Dallas, so...
Does Fort Worth ever cross your mind, Margarita?
Oh.
Does Margarita listen? Is the question.
Mm.
Margarita, you said, Bob, was the one that was getting it the most.
She was the most educated. She was the most educated intellectually. She had the most up-to-date education in Mexico, and I don't know if she did in the States, but she had a pretty good education in the 80s. She knew about Baudrillard and Barth and all those postmodern guys.
When I first started participating on calls, you said Margarita got something that you had given a clue to, and she was the only one that got it.
She knows a lot. All you guys either were born ahead of that, you went to school before that period, or you were too dumb to get to school.
Lyndon LaRue said that the cane came and rummed things up your bum and made you forget. Or was that Croker?
Margarita told me a couple years ago, don't forget me, Bob. And I never heard back from her. I think I can accuse her of forgetting me.
Oh,
don't forget me, Margarita. Geez. Let's hope she hears this.
Call her. She's on, dude.
Hey, call in, Margarita. Fess up. Margarita is the queen of the first wave of Ionettes.
We want to clean up a few things. There are timelines. There's no time, but there are timelines. There's realities that you run into. And it's been said or conversated, hey, Ion, tell us about this person, or tell us about this person, or tell us about this. Or they engage with us, they're non-physical, on a path, on a journey. So you have millions. Now, this is some of that crap they call string theory explanations of stuff, which is also a bunch of crap. But this is the other side of that whole flow of what's going on. At every juncture of a road that you travel on, you can make turns. You're still in the car. You're still driving. You're still this. Let's say you engage with us. And you decide that you want to make bat houses. And we support the making of bat houses. And the next thing you know, you can make bat houses and people want to buy your bat houses. And then you sell bat houses and you make money selling bat houses because it was a thing that you were doing that we supported. That doesn't mean that for all the days of eternity, you are the residential bat house salesman for the world as we know it. It means on that term of reality, when you're engaging, that's what you chose to create in that line. You could stay in that line for all the days of your lives. You can make the houses of bats, but you don't have to. You can shift and change. So when we choose, we can choose, by the way, when we choose ones for special events or things of engagement, they are as valid as anything in creation. And you go, but Ion, if you're non-physical and you know everything, how did you not know that this was going to be a train wreck or some other platitude that goes along with this? We'd say, well, it's the creator's choice. They get to choose. And they can unchoose, and they can re-choose, and they can choose. They do what they want to do. That's why it's so wonderful. See, if you were just trying to come into our power, you wouldn't have to worry about it. We'd have y'all smoked because you would not live up to our expectations because anything less than perfection, we won't have. You and your power is what we want. That trumps us. You and your power trumps us. We like that. Won't have anything less. So everything up to that, you're playing with a dark horse. So now go create a new disaster. That's what we were counting on. Here's someone else's problem now. So move on. That's from what? Little Carolyn song. That's from Little Carolyn song.
Liar.
We got Little Carolyn in here, too. Portal 2.
The queen of the first wave INS has entered the room. Welcome aboard, Margarita. I'm glad you took the hint. Well, fucking time. You're only 3 years late, but it's okay. You're a queen.
As I speak, Margarita, does Fort Worth ever cross your mind? Hey!
Sometimes.
No time. It's just a moment.
Few moments, yes, it does.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, that's there enough for the Margarita. Get back in line, Margarita. Back to melody. Back to melody.
See, this is the point. Bob said he's going to stay with you till you buy or die, y'all. So there it is.
Well, that reminds me, Margarita. You said you didn't want me to forget you. Well, you forgot me. You haven't told me about one TV show in 2 years.
No, I said don't forget about me, and
she went until 24 came back on.
I'm the one.
Here.
Hey, 24 is back on, Margarita.
Yes, I have to start watching that one.
It went off, she left, and it's back, and she's back. So,
all right, she goes for 24. Yeah, that's a very good pattern I on. You, Margarita, is a 24 lady. Okay, but Margarita, just stand there in line. Just stand over there for a minute. Let Melody get into this duality thing.
Well, actually, this conversation started a few weeks ago when Bob and I were speaking about energy. The reason why, you know, that comes up is because it's more common terminology for me to understand a little bit more of what everybody's talking about. And we had talked about the fact that Carolyn and Bob and I had a medicine man in common who we found out afterwards had crossed over, and the teachings that he used about the energy in the chakras and addictions were really quite innovative for the time that he was speaking them. My sort of goal here for me is to bridge the gap between where I am and where y'all are, because we're all sitting in the same box on the phone call at the moment. Bob keeps calling me New Age, and I'm not New Age. I'm part of an 800 generation indigenous lineage.
That's New Age talk, Melody. That's New Age. You are a product of television. You're not a product of New Age 800 being sperm ejaculations. That's New Age talk. You're a product of television.
No, it's not. No, it's absolutely not. These are people who have been indigenous to the countries where they've lived in for many, many generations.
Until television came along. Nobody is here anymore when you get television. You go discarnate. They don't even know they're not connected to their generations anymore.
I got this, Bob. You're not even there. You're not at home. You're not in the United States. You're not anywhere. You're on your iPhone. You're on your YouTube. You're on your cloud. You don't even answer the phone. You have something. I'll answer the phone and talk to you. You don't even have to go home anymore. You have your chip body. Look in your house to see if everything is okay. See your cameras that go to your iPhone. You look in the iCloud for your information. You're not even there. You're not indigenous to even that. You're not even indigenous to this world anymore. It's all involved in a reduction of boric oxide.
I'm working to understand what you're saying, but what I'm saying is, like, for example, I was really following the inspiration with the RNA drops and the Completement products because I did not want to drop my body for very specific reasons. I already had been in the ascension process with some difficulties on and off for many, many years. I also have done astral traveling as an indigenous medicine person for almost 30 years.
We're sorry about that.
I'm sorry about that, too, because it didn't do me any good.
It didn't do you any good because it just distracted you. It was the imitation. It would be like coitus and pornography. Pornography will get you off, but it's not lovemaking. It's the false side of it. Now you've had that, you know what it is, you know how it all works. you know, all the catchwords, the lingo, the 800 lingo, and those kind of things. But now you're starting to apply that, which you've done so long. I mean, Bob's always talking about his anniversary. The sad part is it took him this long to figure out what the hell he's doing. It's pretty sad if you really want to know it. But anyway, that's another conversation. But get on with it. You've got it figured out. If you're customer service, serve your customers. Do something.
And that's kind of where some of the stuckness goes in two different ways. I mean, number one is the contrast I've had since I've been on the drop has been almost as bad as the physical symptoms I had when I was first electrocuted. But my attitude about it is really good, and I'm just like, okay, it didn't kill me the last time. It's not going to kill me this time. You know, my body's just rebalancing.
Polymorphism.
I did do what Bob asked me to do, and I went back to the beginning where you were defining words so that I understood your terminology better.
Okay.
And I'm working through that. And, of course, I'm listening to Dr. Carolyn on the audio, so that's all really helpful.
That'll save your life if you're a little man. See, we don't give a damn about little man. We don't give one care for any little man. We are here only to bring you into your place of power as God. If we don't get you back to the marriage supper of the Lamb, go jump off a long walk off a short, spirally cliff. Get out, is what we say. We're not about the little man. We're not about these sick drugging around here, wiping noses, sick of this, sick of that. But now Dr. Dean, the loving, compassionate person, says, easy. We got to bridge this. We have fear always builds walls, not bridges. And we say, we don't care. She says, well, we do. So she extends that position to allow you, for some unforeseeable reason from us, that it is the appropriate, proper way to handle this. We, however, will, in non-physical, yield to Dr. Dean because she's a creator and she's creating. So we go, okay, show us, please us, delight us. And we begin. Now, when you need a TT rubbed, okay, that's fine. We're good for about a second of that. But the whole point of you coming into your place of power is just that. Cry us a river. Or no, this is what Bob said. Bob said, two tears in a bucket, motherfuck it. Let it go, because you got to come into your place of power. Because, honey, if it could kill you, you'd be dead already. And it ain't, so it can't. And you've done those steps so that you can feel good in your body now. You have challenges, you create them, and you like it, and it's all good. It ain't no problem. It's all good. You can apply all this that you've had to go through instead of wallowing in it. It's one thing to live eternally. It's another thing to live eternally in a sty. Get out of the pig parlor, honey. Get on with your life. Get happy. Get busy. Find something that's pleasing to life. You can engage that. Nothing else. Now all this other crap you got rolled around like a peep-toe thing back to me like a dog pump. If you can't walk in them, honey, they ain't pretty to look at. Get something that can work for you. Get something that's tactile, that's visceral. Don't get lost in the William Irwin Thompson quadrant, because you can very easily. Ask Big Dog, he'll tell you all about it. So the magic is, come into that place, and if you get close to it, we'll help you. We will help you beyond words. But you got to go.
When I talk about Bob with energy, and I mention duality and polarity, and granted, I haven't listened to every tape that you've ever made.
Bob has, and he still doesn't get it, so it's all right.
What I'm talking about is the conditions of choice making, because I feel like what we do as creators is how we create the reality is through making choices. And so there's always going to be contrast.
No, it's not. It's not about, no, Melanie, no. No. You think you make choices. No, actually, we choose you. You don't choose us. We choose you. You think you're reading the book, honey. The book is reading you. In the little man's state, you have no drive. You have no permission to have any unction regarding anything. That's why Marshall McLuhan was relevant. Why else would that ridiculous thought be relevant for anything? The reason was because in a little man's state, it applies. Until you start the process of ascension, you really don't have a say in it. That's why you put all those choices, it riddled it all through what you call your history. You riddled it everywhere, just like Hansel and Gretel leaving the breadcrumbs so they can find their way back home. The better question is, why in the hell were they trying to get in the middle of the woods to the Wicked Witch's house in the first place? And they found themselves indigenous to the woods where they were lost eternally until this fine sugar-coated house showed up for which they were to fit in the oven of. They didn't choose. The Wicked Witch chose them. Now, how to respond is that if you come into the place where you come into your power, you go, wait a second. I got this. I'll come into my place of power and bam, bam, bam. Then you change everything. You make it without you. That's beautiful. Margarita does that. We just adore us a margarita. Oh, by the way, every word we ever said to you still applies, sugar love. Not one has left. Not one has slipped. Not one is flighted. Everyone applies, every single one. And they're all recorded, so you can do it again and again and again and again and again. And we still love you better than snuff, and it's still not half as dusty. Now, Melody Rose, the whole point of this is that you started this journey and you like it. Everything's going good or bad or up or down or everything else a rabbit can do to a stump. Congratulations. Now, engage, lather, rinse, repeat. You're talking about choices. You're talking about contrast. Goody, 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 two shoes. But if there's not a little bit of sweetness in the mouth after this is over, what is forever for? The point is to embrace it till you can come into it. Some say, you're saying, Ions, fake it till you make it. We say, no, you fake it till you figure out what you've made. You don't even know what you're making. You don't know what you're trying to achieve. You don't know what you're trying to get to. Oh, well, I'm going to get some money. Here's all the damn money you can stand. You'll drown in it. Here. Money. Get it all. Get it out. Here's a $1 trillion. Here's $100 trillion. Here's $250 trillion. It's no problem you have at all. Good, congratulations, you got it. Now what you got? You don't even know. You start having these monikers of what you're going to run and what you're going to build and what you're going to do. Well, you say, we don't worry about all that. Get busy doing it. You're so busy worrying that you're going to make a mistake, you quit living. You're so heavenly minded, you know, earthly good. Shake yourself and come into your place of power, darling. Start applying. If it's half as good as we say, it'd be better than you've ever had it so far. So with that, it's still yummy. So now what happens, a very simple thing. You take your contrasts as they come, as you create them. You focus on those and go, okay, I have this, and I don't like it as much as that. Don't just not like something because you'll make more of it. See, you'll make more of it. You'll make more of it. So don't do that. Embrace it. Go, this is this, and is there anything about this that I can find is pleasurable? Any of that that is, embrace that and let the rest of it go, and then replace it with something more pleasurable. There's nothing wrong with emptying your plate. You get your plate full and you taste it and you go, this tastes like crap. Take that whole plate and dump it in the refuse. Dump it. And make a whole new plate of something else. Oh, Ion, I couldn't do that. I'm not wasteful. That's not about wasteful. Eating something you don't want is wasteful. Eating something you don't want to us is wasteful. Food is essential to living, therefore make it good. We've never said that before. We only say eat sewage. But now you've got on the cusp of change. The cusp of change, like when distribution of living water starts taking place, that's a change. Byron changes, then some boots on the ground moves are going to apply. And as they apply, they are going to have platitudes and vicissitudes. And you can gauge which side of those apply in your indigenous position that you engage. Now, see, that's a bunch of wordy words that don't even mean anything. So all we're saying is, rather rinse, repeat. Change it to something a little more pleasurable. Find something you like to eat. Eat that. And eat that till you don't like that anymore. We don't care what it is. You ask us and we say, eat a little more protein. Have some protein. Blah, 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 blah. Then at the end of the day, everybody on the planet is eating something they don't like and something out of a sack or something out of a bucket or something that's ridiculous or something already been digested, some creatine, powder up, double protein. Bunch of, well, Karen pack on the bed yet. We can't go much further. She'll call the sensors on us for sure. But the point is, take those parts, the parts that are delicious, and embrace those and have more of those. And there's nothing wrong with addressing your issues. We like that, but don't get stuck in them. Your issue has been all along, you can fix the world, but you can't clear your own energies. Clear it. It's one thing to sing the song, I want to wash that man out of my hair, but if you don't get your hair wet, it's hard to do. We're talking about clearing. The name for you today is clearing. Clear it. Move on. Clear it. Move on. Next. We've done it already. Let's do the next fun thing. You survived that. Quit talking about that once you've already survived, for Pete's sake. You're arguing for the limitation. It wasn't strong enough to kill you. Should we try it again? So don't embrace that part. Let that part go. And replace it with nice, radiated Japanese strawberries. They're delicious.
So Margarita finally shows up, and she's not in Fort Worth yet.
No, I am not. Not yet. I'm not sure about that place.
Where are you?
Where do you live, Margarita?
Where are you?
You don't want to know where she lives. You ever see that TV show, The Bridge, El Paso, where they kill each other across the border back and forth? That's where she lives.
Texas?
Yes, I live in Texas on the border.
Okay. Yeah, El Paso. See the TV show, The Bridge?
No, not El Paso.
Cold Fort Worth beer just ain't no good for jealous. I try it night after night. You're in someone else's arms in Dallas. Does Fort Worth ever cross your mind? Darling, while you're busy burning bridges, burn one for me if you get time. Cause good memories don't fade so easy. Does Fort Worth ever cross your mind? You left me here to be with him in Dallas. And I know it hurt you at the time, but I wonder now if it makes a difference. Does Fort Worth ever cross your mind?
Margarita's weeping with the truth of
isn't
that.
Isn't Susanna there close by then?
I mean,
oh, yeah, so go up, hang out with Susanna for a while.
It's great fun. No, Margarita, it's been great fun. Bob has been goading us lately about Margarita, and we said, well, we'll wake her. So we have nudged you back into this side of the world. So welcome. You've been here all along. We're pleased and delighted beyond words. Engage, enjoy, and have fun. And as always, we are here.
You know, I am one day you read from the Emerald Tablet. I think it's tablet number 13.
Yes.
You read the only question that I have. It's so funny. The one in the keys of life and death.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you read a paragraph that I have a question about it. And I said, oh, wow, that was because I said, what question did I have? I don't really have any questions. I said, well, if I have a question, it will be this one. And then you read the paragraph.
So give us
it
a
was.
Question.
Okay, it's a paragraph about, it says, first lie at rest with thy head to the eastward. Fold thy hands at the source of thy life, the solar plexus. So now, when you lie down with your head facing the east.
Yes.
And you divide your body from the solar plexus, when you spin the upper part of your body with your head facing the east, is the spinning from the upper east towards the north or clockwise?
Okay. If you're in Fort Worth, you lay your head toward Atlanta.
Yes.
They're parallel. The 33rd parallel. 31st, 32nd, right to the 33rd parallel. You lay your head toward Atlanta, and you're on your back. So your right hand would be extended from your solar plexus toward Canada. Your left hand would be toward Mexico, specifically Costa Rica.
Wait. Laying down. Okay. Yeah.
We know. You know. We know. So we know. We okay.
I'm trying to orient myself. Okay, got it.
Okay, come on. Fort Worth. You lay down in Fort Worth above the stockyards. Just north of the stockyards there. You lay with your head toward Atlanta. Your feet would be toward El Segundo.
When you were talking to Bob and Carolyn during the explanation of this, he says, do not do this exercise unless you're very grounded in this world.
That's
meaning,
right.
Like, you are not happy in this world. You can easily just flip to another, and maybe you either you go to the dock or you end up in another parallel world and not coming back here because you're not grounded in this world.
Now you can, but see, you've done this already, darling. That's why you're asking this question now. By the way, welcome back. As you've been in that process,
Thank you.
Why you're asking now. It's like, okay, I did this, now I really want to know. Okay? And see, because the sun is its father, the moon is its mother, and the wind has carried it in its belly. The earth is its nurse. So that's what you're trying to apply. You're trying to ascend or transcend from the earth to the heaven again, and descend to the earth and receive the force of things superior and inferior. By this means, you shall have the glory of the whole world, and thereby all obscurity shall fly from you. Its force is above all force, for it vanquishes every subtle thing, penetrates every solid thing. So was the world created. From this are and do become admirable adaptation, wherefore the means or processes is here in this. Hence, I'm called Hermes.
Well, that's the thing that I got from the Emerald Tablets, basically. This, I thought that this exercise was really interesting, but I was kind of hesitant to continue doing that because when you give the warning, sort of like the warning on the angel speak,
talk about
anger. The same one with this one. Oh, you're not grounded in this world. Be careful not to do this.
That's correct. That's exactly right. It's like the conjurer sacrifice. Papa justify. Same way.
Yeah.
And you're good with that because you're very good at this. Because the way you think correctly. You process things correctly. Well, if we give you a warning, you know to back up. And that's a great asset for you. No, you're good. He's like, I don't care what you say. I said no. So I'm saying no. And no isn't eternal. It's just until you decide better.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all that is. Mm-hmm. And happily so. Play with it a little bit until the burning in the belly. Burning in the belly.
Mm-hmm.
You are the essence of burning in the belly. You remember that?
I know when you were talking, I believe it's last week, or it was maybe a melting titanium. I don't remember. About this vortex, like for example Maui, that is not necessarily right now on the 33rd, but there's a convergence of grids or ley lines there, and it's easier for a person, for example, to transcend or ascend if you are close to the 33rd parallel. So by me being in the 26th, does that in a way inhibit
move north?
Yeah, I'm north on the 26th.
We know. Move north.
Is Fort Worth
that's
north?
Right. Yes. That's where we stopped, and we're not moving any further, darling, until you do.
Thanks a lot, Gregory.
Okay,
yeah,
so
holding up
a
lot of stuff.
Okay, so you were little about Fort Worth.
Are you nuts? When are we not little about everything? When are we not literal about everything? You say understand, and we describe climbing under something and standing up without bumping your head. Of course we are literal. Of course we are literal.
But I don't know what he's saying.
When you're trying to get your way, well, it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. When you were trying to get your daughter to go to Fort Worth, to get you there even close, it will find you. You don't find it.
When you go to Fort Worth, go around looking for Marshall McLuhan's wife's relatives. Corinne McLuhan grew up in Fort Worth. That's a good enough reason to go there.
Oh.
Everything goes back to Marshall McLuhan.
That's right.
Baudrillard.
Baudrillard.
on Croker and what was the other one?
William Irwin Johnson.
See, Margarita knows these guys. Margarita had to read these guys 30 years ago.
That's okay. She also had tea with Mussolini, Bob. So it's
yeah, her and Margarita Sarfatti.
Yeah. Margarita Sarfatti. Jack Sarfatti's nemesis.
I know that you insist on that area.
No, we don't. No, we don't insist. We don't care. We're just saying you're asking these questions, but everyone is based on not doing what we've already suggested that you do. So everything you ask us, it's kind of like when the children would run to the daddy and say, I want to do so-and-so, and they said no. So you ask your mom, and your mom said, we'll see what your daddy says. So you're running back and forth to non-physical trying to get us to answer a different way. The answer is, does fourth words ever cross your mind? And the answer is, every time you talk to you, it does. It does. So now, and you go to Fort Worth and walk around and see or look or find or something bump in, an opportunity to go there shows up or something that's interesting. If you need us to blow up your current present location and move your zip code to Fort Worth, we're amiable to this. Then you can live where you live now. It just happens to be now located in Fort Worth. We're moving Maui to the 33rd parallel now, so it doesn't bother us.
It's the only thing that's going to get Bob off his ass if we get his fucking island up to 33rd parallel. We might have a prayer here.
Here we go. Hey, Bob. If the wind is blowing from the north and you're standing facing the south, Where does the wind hit you?
It hits the back of your head.
It hits the back of your head. How do you know? So if it's coming from the south and blowing north, where does the wind hit you?
The back of your head. At least have one of them must be right.
Now, you see how ridiculous that sounds? That's the way we feel when you're asking, well, do you think there's something in Fort Worth that would be interesting for me? I am. We go, So, okay, guys. Please yourself. You don't have to sell your home and move there. You have to go and visit.
Okay, visit, because that's not the place that I want to end up.
But you're not going to end up where you are at the rate you're going.
Either, but you know what I can't right now.
We don't know Kent. Sorry.